Let's pray before we listen to or read the sermon. Lord, we pray that despite our isolation, your Holy Spirit will enrich all those who open your word and receive all that you have to give us this day. Amen. We're looking at John chapter 10, verse 1. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. And he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Why did God make sheep? So that we could understand. Satan is a thief and seeks to rob believers of fellowship with God. His sneaky lie is that friendship with other believers is the same as fellowship with God. This passage is a stern warning that there are traps with non-believers who go to church or befriend Christians. Not that it's wrong, but watch out for the traps. Church is a comfortable social environment for many people. Church people are nice, they care, the music is nice, the activities are safe, children are protected and cared for, but some people can enter the church setting without committing their lives to Jesus. Jesus points out in the parable of the 10 virgins, 5 of whom go to meet the bridegroom but run out of oil. Matthew 25, verse 10 says this, "But while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterwards, the other virgins came also, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he answered and said, 'Assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming.'" Now, I believe in this passage that the oil is the anointing of the Holy Spirit, which they had, but they had not renewed. It is desperately important that we are ready daily walking with God. The once saved, always saved debate is only relevant for those who want to let their relationship with Jesus lie dormant. The believer with a genuine relationship with Jesus is continually active in getting ready. "Watch therefore, you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." A marriage cannot blossom without both partners looking for ways to express their love. Revelation 19. "Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and his wife has made herself ready." We are the bride and the shepherds. People recognize the anointing of God on you if you are his shepherd. Then Jesus said to them again, "Most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture." Jesus is the only door to eternal life. The promise that Jesus is the key to finding pasture or food and rest for our souls is here in this passage. The soul of man is empty without salvation. We cannot and must not team up with other religions for a fake unity. Paul said in Ephesians 2, "For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father." Through him. No one else. Through him. In Hebrews 10:19, he encourages us, "Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus," no other way, "by the blood of Jesus, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." There is no room for compromise or lethargy in our walk with God. And during this coronavirus, it says, not forsaking the assembling. Well, we can't assemble together, but we can phone each other and email each other and keep that type of contact, and we should. John 10:10, "The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." Now, the thief climbed over the wall to get to the sheep without coming through Jesus. What does he steal? He steals peace by teaching that money solves problems. He kills by teaching that joy comes from worshipping the idols of the land, like sport, cruises, or prestige. So the real life, which is our relationship with God, our Father, is killed. But Jesus defines life, and our appreciation of this deepens as we walk with him. Verse 11. "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep." There are two words commonly translated as good in the New Testament. One is agathos, which means morally good. The word used here is kalos, which means that there is a loveliness attached to the good. You see, when Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd," there is more to Jesus than competence, courage, adeptness, trustworthiness, dependability. There is a loveliness about him that is beyond words. One day, when we meet him face to face, it will be absolutely wonderful. I long for that day. Chapter 10, verse 12. "But a hireling, who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by them. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." Jesus completely changes the definition of leadership. Other leaders expected the followers to die for them. Jesus lays down his life for us. And the word for life here is psuche, which means more than his death at Calvary. It was his soul, his personal preferences. Good shepherds in those days needed to be constantly vigilant, have the courage to defend their flock against wild animals, and love the sheep enough to retrieve them from dangers and their wanderings. The priority of leadership is to save the followers. The hireling is more concerned about his welfare and is as dangerous as the wolf. Jesus is the good shepherd and is always on duty. There are no fences for the sheep, and predators were prevalent. The sheep wandered off, but the shepherd patiently brings them back. Interestingly, the Latin word for shepherd is pastor. The second defining quality of his leadership is that there is a real relationship. We know and are known. It is vital that this knowledge expands beyond data, so much so that to live without him would be not worth living at all. Jesus sets the bar by laying down his life for us. Verse 16, and the other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. The defining quality is that we must accept sheep from other flock. They will worship differently, and sing and pray differently, or dress differently. But if they have confessed their sins and believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, their Saviour, and have committed their life to him, then they are family. They too hear the voice of God and understand that their walk with him is essential. You see, unity happens not when we look at each other, but when we face God together. Verse 17, therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. Therefore, there was division again among the Jews because of these sayings, and many of them said, he has a demon and is mad. Why do they listen to him? Others said, these are not the words of one who has a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? The Father loved Jesus because he was obedient and of the same mind as the Father. Even in the most difficult circumstances, they agreed Satan had not won the battle. It was not a defeat. Satan never had more power. Jesus willingly rescued mankind for the Father. Why could not the Jews see the salvation that was right in front of them? Because they looked at the flesh. They thought salvation meant rescue from the Romans. Many Western believers are beguiled into thinking that salvation means happiness, health, prosperity, and safety. They have not read Open Doors or Barnabas Fund or Gatestone emails. There are millions of Christians holding fast to their faith relationship with Jesus who have nothing in the flesh. Open Doors reported, in just the last year, 2019, there have been over 260 million Christians living in places where they experience higher levels of persecution. That's one in every 30 people on the planet. 2,983 Christians were killed for their faith. 9,488 churches and other Christian buildings were attacked. 3,711 believers detained without trial, arrested, sentenced, or imprisoned. Well, if we look at the flesh, we totally miss the Spirit. Paul says in Galatians chapter 5, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. So as we pray for the unsaved and the prodigals in our life, we pray that the door to the Holy Spirit will be opened. Jesus stands at the door knocking. We pray that they will open the door and invite him into their lives. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. Anyone, no matter what their past, no matter what their sins, no matter what their crimes, if anyone hears my voice and opens the door. 22. Now, it was the Feast of Dedication in Jerusalem, and it was winter, and Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then the Jews surrounded him and said to him, "How long do you keep us in doubt? If you're the Christ, tell us plainly." This response from the Jews shows they clearly resisted believing Jesus. They had seen the signs, seen his love and power, heard him declare his oneness to God, and they wanted more. For people who do not want to believe, no amount of proof will be enough. John 10:25. Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you do not believe, because you're not of my sheep. As I said to you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand." You know, for many years I struggled with verse 27. I really thought God meant my sheep read my book. Until it finally dawned on me that God was much smarter than me. He knew the difference between read and hear and book and voice. So how do we hear the voice of God? I gave you a little link in the homework about babies. And the first point I make is babies know their mother's voice, but it takes time to learn, discern, and understand their parents. So, we too need to accept that it'll take time to discern the voice of God. Now, knowing the heart of God and his commandments will help us discern if it's really him talking. God will not say, "Go and rob the bank and bash that innocent person senseless." We must read and meditate on the scriptures. We cannot know the heart of God without humility. James 4:6, God resists the proud. Thirdly, making mistakes is less important if God sees that your desire is to hear and do his will. We come to him as our Father, and so we share in his cover as members of his family. His name is holy, like no one else we know. Our heart is for the kingdom of God to come on earth. Our heart is for the will of God to be done. In the Lord's Prayer, Matthew 6, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." Hallowed, that is made holy. Different to anything else we know. Your kingdom come, not my kingdom, your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Not my will, but your will. Fourthly, as thoughts are put in our head, we discern whether they come from the devil, other people, or our own imagination, or God. If they're evil, they're not from God. If they boast, cause us to boast or boost our pride, they're not from God. If they're aligned to the heart of God and his word, they're from him. But the acid test comes as we separate spirit from flesh. John 4, God is spirit. And those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. People, wisdom comes when you discern the difference between flesh and spirit. And you need to pray and work on that for the rest of your life. Fifthly, we need to take time off to actually listen. Psalm 46, you know this one, "Be still and know that I am God." Be still. Take time off. I find praying when I jog the best time. It's always away from my desk, laptop, chores, so that I can actually try to focus on prayer. The still, small voice of God is best heard when our mind is cleaned and uncluttered. A large part of truth is discerning our motive. Do we want God, who's the slave, to do our wishes? Or God the Almighty to tell us how to serve him. we come to God, come to His throne and place the baggage into the lap of God, we renew our minds. Paul tells us in Romans 12, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Notice that Jesus does not say we can hear his voice or we should hear his voice, but we do hear his voice. You prayed, Lord, should I marry this person? Or should I take this job? Or should I buy this house? Something nudged you. That's the start of hearing his voice. And then Jesus closes with this blatant statement. He blatantly states, I and my Father are one. The same uniqueness and completeness needs to be seen in our bonding with Jesus. Pray for the same heart, the same mind, so that all we do, all that captures our mind, all our hopes are in the will of the Father. Matthew tells us, a good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth good things. Let us treasure the things of God. Father God, that's all we ask. We ask to be able to walk with you in such a way that we will do your will and share your heart. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to close with this song, which I told you about in the homework there. Brian introduced it a few weeks ago. It's Psalm 23 in a slightly different form. But I'll play it, so you can either click on the link if you want a good reception, but I'll play it into the recorder and you could just listen there and follow the words. And it's I love the words, though I walk the darkest path, I will not fear the evil one, for you are with me and your rod and staff are the comfort I need to know. For your endless mercy follows me, your goodness will lead me home. Amen. So just hang on a bit and I'll play it for you.